Praise God. So good to see everyone on a wonderful Sunday morning, worshiping God together, growing in God together. I think I want to start today by reminding you just how valuable you are to the kingdom of God. It's important that you remember this. Remind yourself sometimes daily that you're not just a you're not supposed to just be a church member. And it's one of the signs of a, I call it a carnal church, a modern church, when you can just show up and on a Sunday and maybe a Wednesday, if you're spiritual, leave a little money and then head on your way and feel good about yourself. It's how men have made church so they can be in charge of their life. And somewhere you got hungrier for more of God. Maybe you had a grandma praying for you or a mama praying for you. Maybe you hit rock bottom. You found an end to your own ability. It could have been desperation. Or maybe it was just good old passion for God, but you opened the door for God to come in and bring you closer to Him. And just going to church to do your duty wasn't enough. And this is where you've got to see in yourself where something else happened in you. Something else happened in you. Where it wasn't enough. Why wasn't it enough for you? Why are the masses okay with it, but you're not okay with it? What happened to you? Something happened. You made a decision somewhere that allowed God to have more of your life. And you decided to let Him have more of your life, no matter what the cost. When you think about the typical Christian, their goal is to do their duty enough to make God happy. And they add church to their life. They make the decisions of their life. They decide to do well. I remember when I did my dad's memorial last year, a lot of my family, heard about God from my mom and dad and me but they're pretty much, a typical Canadian in a sense where they're telling God how they qualify for heaven. You know, that, hey, I'm good enough. I've been good enough. I should go to heaven. I'm a good person. I don't cheat. I don't steal too much. I don't drink too much. I don't party too much. I'm good enough to go to heaven. And I use my brother as an example, who's a lawyer. I said, you know, you can't show up at the court dressed really well and say, I'm going to be a lawyer, judge. And you say, what's your credentials? You know, well, I didn't go to lawyer school. I just decided I'm going to be a lawyer. We don't show up at the hospital saying, I'm ready to be a doctor, a surgeon. Hand me a knife, a scalpel, and give me a patient. What's your credential? So I didn't go to school, but I'm you know, I slept last night at the Holiday Inn, so I'm ready to be a doctor. The old joke, and you know, but yet the whole world is trying to do that with God. We think it's laughable that someone would try that, but yet they're willing to risk their eternal damnation by thinking, well, I get to tell God what I need to do to be accepted by Him. You know, I'm good enough, God. I've been good. I believe in Jesus, and believing in Jesus is not enough to get born again. It's not enough to go to heaven. You have to humble yourself before God and give your life to Him. I'll start there in Ephesians today. Ephesians Let me see if I can find it. Chapter 2, I believe it is. The pride of life will destroy you. The pride of life, where you have a pride that you're in charge of your life, will bring destruction to you. It's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Believing in Jesus does not get you to heaven. Believing in Jesus is not enough. You see that in the world. A lot of our soul winning techniques is going around asking people if they know Jesus, if they believe in Jesus. Say the Lord's Prayer. I kind of laugh at that now. You know, go around and ask everyone to say the Lord's Prayer. Two of the most important decisions you'll make in your life is, who are you going to marry? And being born again. Being born again is the most important decision. The second most important decision is who you marry. And can you imagine a young man walking down the street and an old man grabs him and says, Hey son, you look single. Are you single? Yeah. Do you have a job? Yeah. All right. Well, listen, I got my daughter and she's got great personality. You really like her and she's ready to get married. I've got a priest over here and a paper. If you'll sign this paper, will you marry her right now, sight unseen? And if you'll just sign this marriage certificate, I'll bring out my daughter and here's a priest. He'll marry you right now. And it's a good deal, son. Listen, my daughter's a great catch. And just sign right here and commit yourself to her for the rest of your life till death do us part. And I think there's some TV shows like that where they just kind of surprise you with who you're marrying. Well, that seems like kind of a shock, but yet for the most important decision in our life, we do that. A lot of people in soul winning, they confront strangers they've never met before and ask them to accept a savior they don't even know. And it's like, okay. And a lot of times people will say the sinner's prayer just to get you out of their way. Just, okay, leave me alone. I love Jesus. Thank you. Bye bye. So a lot of the church world have made it a simple act to get born again. And so people, it's kind of a bait and switch. Come and find Jesus who loves you and will be, have mercy on you. And then they run into a preacher who says, lay your life down. Oh, and wait a minute. I was bringing Jesus into my life. Now you're telling me that Christianity is dying to my life and accepting his life? Well, that's not what they told me. They told me I just had to believe in Jesus. See, the pride of life says you try to tell God how you serve him. Can you imagine that pride? I'm going to tell God how I'm going to serve him. I'm going to tell God what I'm going to give to him. See, and even at salvation, it says we're saved by grace through faith, and that not even of ourselves. That we as a human cannot even muster up enough faith to be born again. We couldn't find enough faith in our humanity to accept Jesus as our Savior. We had to receive that faith as a gift. That the way you get that gift of faith, see, there is a giant mountain in your way between you and God called the sin nature. And you couldn't remove it. No good work could remove it. No good work could satisfy God other than Jesus dying on the cross. And so you cannot even muster enough faith to believe God for salvation. That's why believing in Jesus is not enough. To be born again, you have to humble yourself and yield your life to Him in a sense that I can't do this on my own, God. I give you my life. And in that moment of humility, He's able to gift you the faith to supernaturally believe God beyond your own ability for a miracle to happen that you're born of God. Welcome to the family of God. Now, there's two ways that you look at your service, your Christianity, your life with God. And the first one, which is most of the church world, looks at the infrastructure of the church system. Tell me what to do. Tell me how I can be good enough for God. Tell me what I can do for God to keep Him happy. And this is the offering system that we see so much in religion of all types, that I am not good enough to be accepted by God, or I'm not even going to try to be good enough to be accepted by God. So I'm going to give Him an offering. And when He receives the offering, He will accept the offering and me because of the offering. In other words, He's not accepting me, but the offering makes Him overlook me. So I don't need to be good enough. He's going to accept me because I give Him an offering of time, an offering of service, an offering of finances. I'm going to give Him something to appease Him, even an offering of worship. I was watching a service the other day and watching worship, and it's kind of my new focus is understanding worship a little more pure. And I seen the crowd really like worshiping God, and I think I heard the Lord say, now when you see that, does it feel like they're worshiping a deity in heaven? Or does it feel like they're fellowshipping with their Father? I'll let that soak in a little bit, because it smacked me pretty good. Did it look like they're worshiping a deity up in heaven? Trying to appease Him, trying to show Him their love? Or did it look like fellowship with the Father? And there's a part of worship that's important where we express ourselves and we, you know, yield over, bow down to Him kind of. But there's a fellowship with your Father that He desires, which is communion, connection, intimacy. I think about my own kids when, you know, Harrison's off in school, most of the time working hard in school. We're proud of him, but we don't see him very often. And when he comes home, I want to look in his eyes and I want him to tell me how he's doing. I don't want him to say, "Oh, Daddy, I love you. You're the best. You're awesome. You're amazing. Thank you for all you do, Dad." I want to connect with him. I want to hear how he's doing. And I think there's a part of praise and worship to where we've learned how to, and not this church, of course, but those other churches, how they've learned to worship a deity, God, way up in heaven, and they bypass the intimacy, the personal connection with God, the vulnerability of "I love you, and here's what I'm going through. Here's what I need." That kind of personal fellowship with the Father is a purer worship than all the expression you can do of how great he is. Hope that makes sense. But to be born again, it's not you coming to God. It's you yielding yourself, humbling yourself to a point that he's able to give you a gift of faith to believe that you can be born of God. And so once you start going, you get saved, however it is you got saved, praise God, you're born again. But there's two ways that I see that we look at ourselves in the church world. There's one, which is the church system, the man-made church system of how to serve God. And that's what most of us started out with and got burnt out with, used up in. But it also provides a way for you to serve God without you being intimate with God. Just tell me what I need to do, Pastor. Just tell me what to do. Give me instructions. Tell me how to serve. Tell me where to serve. Tell me when I'm doing good, or remind me if I'm not doing good. Because I just want to flow and not have to think about those things. So there's a whole system designed by men that allows people to attend a church, be told what to give, be told when to give, be told how to serve, and the responsibility falls on the infrastructure of the church to guide you into your calling. And really, you end up being a man pleaser without knowing it. And it takes a responsibility off of you to know God. If you've ever blamed a pastor, a preacher, for failing you, for using you, for taking advantage of you, taking your money, then you submitted to a system where you let man have that power. I did a meeting last night with a bunch of young guys and girls from Sacramento. And that was one of the questions, was, you know, like being used by church and that kind of thing. And it's like, well, you know, like, when do you know you're is too far, when the church uses you? And I had to explain that when you follow God, God will use your life up. Can you imagine being Peter's wife? He's out fishing, making money. He shows up one afternoon. Hey, honey, I'm home. How much money did you make? Well, we didn't make any money. This guy named Jesus showed up, and I quit my job, and I'm going to follow him now. Wait. I have a question. No time for a question. I got to run. He's leaving town. I got to go. Well, wait, what about, bye-bye, gonna follow Jesus. You know, and then, she calls up, finds Peter, says, Peter, I want to make plans for a vacation. I want to make plans for visiting my mama. I want to make plans for dinner next Sunday. Are we available? Can you come? Well, let me ask Jesus. Hold on, honey. Let me ask Jesus. Jesus, next Friday, where are we going to be? My wife wants to know so we can plan dinner with my mother-in-law. Jesus says, I don't know, Peter. The Father hasn't told me yet. I don't know where we're going to be. Can you imagine that poor woman having to rearrange her life around her husband walking with Jesus and not having the power, the scheduling power to plan out their schedule for the next, not only for the next year, but for the next week? Can you imagine having to rearrange your life? Some of you can imagine, because that's what you've been going through since you found a relationship with Jesus, where you don't have the power to even make a schedule like normal people, because you're not in charge of your life anymore. There is a cost to follow Jesus the right way. And it's laying down all your rights to follow God, and He has all the power to dictate to you who you are, what you do. And in that, I want to be careful, because I don't want to justify craziness either, that, you know, we don't want any husbands telling their wife, well, don't talk to me, talk to Jesus, you know. Hey, we need food on the table. Well, I'm not working. No, you know, you're allowed to succeed at what God has you doing. You just want God to put you there. Okay. And so we don't want to feed flakiness or laziness in the name of Jesus. You know, God wants you to succeed whatever He has you doing, but you want Him to be the one who puts you there. Not you go there and say, here, God, I'm going to give you an offering to keep you happy. So there's two structures that we live by. The first structure is going to be man's system, man's world, where you attend church and you get to tell God how much you serve Him, how you serve Him, what you do. And in that system, you blame man for not promoting you, for overlooking you. There's one guy really ticked me off talking about the prayer center leadership here in Tulsa. And he said, oh yeah, the leadership here, they're racist. That's why I'm not a preacher here. And I had to shut him down and smack him around a little bit, you know, because that victimness is not even attractive to anybody. You know, there are people who are racist and really abusive, and don't try to step in with them because you didn't get your way. Another man told me, yeah, this young preacher, he's really hurt. He was really hurt by the church there. You know, just really got his feelings hurt, really got hurt. And I said, you know, just because you don't get your way doesn't mean you have a right to be hurt. You know, that it means you're supposed to grow up when you don't get your way. And if you're lived in that church system, it's a system of, I'll give you what you want, and you're going to give me what I want. I'll serve you, but you're going to give me what I want in return. And in that, you end up with not a healthy situation. And understand that if you serve men unto God, then, men could take away whatever they give you. You're in a church system made by men. And if you've ever been hurt by a church, then it's because you put yourself in a system. You were looking to man and not to God. Can you imagine David being, you know, blaming God when Saul tried to kill him? You know, then he tried to mess with Saul, and God rebuked him for trying to touch Saul. Can you imagine Paul saying, I don't know what's wrong with me, I'm just trying to follow God, and they're stoning me, I've been shipwrecked, I've been beat up, and the bottom of my feet have been whipped and broken because I'm trying to follow God. You know, there's a part of following God where you allow Him to tell you what that looks like. And even if it doesn't look good, you're not offended because God puts you there. In other words, there's some of us in this room, God placed you in an environment under a preacher where they took advantage of you, where they lied to you, they used you, They didn't pay you for your just reward, but you were there because God placed you there for a reason, and you trusted God that He would reward you. And so you didn't get your feelings hurt. You grew stronger when they overlooked you, when they gave opportunity to preach and opportunity to minister to their best little buddies, and you, who were the hardest working person in the room, were overlooked. You didn't get your feelings hurt because you didn't get your way. You got stronger. I remember being at Norville's ministry, and there was a couple of men there that were my age, my equal level kind of, and one could sing and the other one was much quicker, more skilled at talking than I was. And I remember during the conference when we had thousands of people show up and big famous preachers show up, the singer got to sing because he could sing really well, and the good talker got to MC the services, get up on stage and introduce the speakers and all that. And I was like the workhorse. I ran the ministry part where we had to have food cooked for all the speakers. We had to have a kid's church, a nursery set up for, and this was all at a hotel in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And we had to have production of cassette tapes and video to sell. We had book and tape sales. We had to have usher set up, sound system set up, camera running. We had to have the guest speakers brought back and forth from the services. And I was the one who was tasked to manage all of that, the organization part. So I was getting up at 6 a.m, going down and getting everything running, getting everything organized, and getting back to bed around midnight, taking care of all this, making sure all the offerings were counted and everything. We had a room in the hotel for the speakers and the higher staff could eat after service and in fellowship. And I remember being frustrated because I barely really got to the meal at time after I took care of all my business to fellowship with any of the speakers. By the time I got there, they usually had left. And these two other boys were annoying because the singer would show up at, you know, he had to sing at 10. He'd show up at 9:55 and start to worship. When he was done singing at 10:30 in the morning, he would go back up to the room and hang out with all the speakers and eat all the food and come back down just enough to do worship and disappear. The other guy who was a good talker, who would MC, he would come down at like 10:30, just in time to introduce the speaker and take up the offering. And he'd show up, do his thing, and disappear. And here I was there at 6 a.m, working all day long, keeping everything rolling. And the last straw was I went up one time for lunch. After the service, after I did my duties, I went up for food. And these two boys were in there, like in their PJs, hanging out in the room, just hanging out with the speakers, eating food. I got up there and all the good food was gone. And they were, you know, they were nibbling on it while I got up there. And that was the last straw for me. I was so like ticked off. Can't believe these boys, like they didn't even care. Like it wasn't so much that they ate the last of the food. It was that they were happily sitting up there, not even worrying about one thing that I had to carry and worry about to keep the thing running. And I remember being so offended and frustrated and wanting to kill both of them. And I was downstairs in the meeting hall, cleaning up, getting the chair set up, and I was complaining to God. God, that's not fair. You know, these guys, they're up there just kissing rear ends, and I'm down here working my tail off, and they get to go be the speaker, and they don't have to do worry about one thing I'm worrying about, and I'm doing all this work, and I'm not getting recognized. And the Lord spoke to me and said, if you want to be a man pleaser, go ahead. And I said, a man pleaser? I'm not the man pleaser. I'm the one working. Those guys are the man pleasers. They're just showing up and doing enough, and then they're up there hobnobbing and eating all my food, and I'm the one carrying all this. They're the man pleasers. And he said, well, no, you're a man pleaser because you want men to recognize you for the labor you're doing. You want men to reward you for what you're doing. And you expect them to see you and reward you. And he said, don't you know I see everything you're doing? And don't you know that in time I will reward you? And he basically said, quit being a man pleaser. And in that moment, I realized that I was a man pleaser, that I was doing things in the name of God, but it was to please men. And when they didn't recognize me, when they overlooked me and rewarded these little girly men, boys, for doing nothing, kiss up boys, I was offended. And see, when God is your boss, then how are you going to get offended? Because you're there, you live your life going and doing things because God asks you to do it. And don't you know that God knew what it was like when he sent you there? God, you told me to come be part of this ministry, or you told me to go do this. You told me to take this job, and this job isn't what I like. Yet one lady calls me and says, I need you to pray that I get a better job. I need a job with a lot of nice Christians and where they play Christian music. And I'm at this job where they're cussing and I'm overlooked and I'm not getting paid what I'm worth. I just want you to pray for me that I get a job with a bunch of Christian people and more money. And I say, well, I can't pray that. What? What do you mean you can't pray it? Doesn't God want me to have more and be blessed with more? Well, not always. Not if you're Paul and you're being sent on a ship that's going to sink. Sometimes where God puts you, like he wants to have the ability to place you in situations where maybe they need a voice of God, but they've chased away all the Christians by making it uncomfortable. And God needs someone to go into a place of warfare where they can show the love of God, not because they get something in return from men, but because that's who they are. In other words, maybe it's not by accident you're in the place you're at, even if they're not nice to you. Maybe God needed you there to show love. The lady says, well, my boss takes advantage of me. He gives the bonus to everyone else but me and overlooks me and isn't always nice. And I just want a good Christian place. And I said, well, maybe God placed you there. I can't pray that you move. Maybe God placed you there because he needed that man to be able to not be nice to a Christian and to get love in return so that God could win him over eventually to Christianity. But that means I'm not happy. That means I'm not getting blessed. Can you see how crazy the church world has gotten? That serving God is about being blessed and abundantly and happy? Sometimes serving God isn't about being happy. Sometimes serving God is about laying down your life for others and not being acknowledged or rewarded. And so I remember being downstairs at the Park Vista Hotel in Gatlinburg, all by myself in that big auditorium, one morning complaining to God. And he corrected me. He spanked me. He said, quit being a man pleaser. And when I seen that God said, don't you know I see everything you're doing? Don't you know that I will reward you? In that moment, I said, oh, God, I see it. I said, I'm going to be faithful. I'll be the hardest worker they have because you see it, and you'll reward me in due time. And I changed my attitude. I quit being a man pleaser. See, if you complain about the church, the leadership, I'm not talking to this church because there's nothing to complain about here. But if you found yourself in the past in that system, it's because you were a man pleaser. You were serving man unto God instead of serving God and saying, God, I'm serving you wherever you want me. And you were wanting man to, you were wanting the system of man's church to bring you forward into your calling, into your place. I want to be able to speak to people. I want to be able to minister and listen. As a pastor, over the years, I've run into all kinds of people who have an agenda to preach, to prophesy, to sing, and they get so frustrated because you don't give them that promotion. You don't give them that opportunity. They begin to belittle you. They begin to complain. They begin to try to make their own way. It's one of the reasons I have zero tolerance for parking lot prophets. God won't promote them, so they go find you alone in the parking lot and try to step in front of you. So let me be your prophet for you. I remember we had when I was running the church there for a season in Tennessee, there was the people who want to be on praise and worship, but they don't get chosen. They usually sing a little louder from the pew to let everyone know that I should be up there. And this one guy during worship, he would sing really loud. And then he began to sing things that, not even just loud. He began to add things and try to steer the worship. And he was a newer guy. I remember I sat down with him after the first time. I said, hey, glad you're here. Glad you're in church. But I noticed during worship, you were really singing really loud and not even singing with the worship team. You were adding, things. And I said, we play a game here called Follow the Leader, where we want Jesus to be worshiped, and we don't want any attention going to anybody but Jesus. So that means we sing at the volume that's equal to everyone else, and we sing along with where the praise and worship leader leads. And he said, oh, but I'm not a man pleaser. I please God. And I got to do what the Lord tells me. And so I got to do what the Lord tells me. I can't just submit to that. And I said, well, I'm the pastor right now here. And so I'm telling you how it is. So I'm expecting you to do that, or we're going to have a problem. And the next service, of course, he showed up and he did the same thing. And I think he was used to people backing down. And I grabbed him after service and I said, this is your second warning. You're obviously not listening. And if you do that again, I want you to know that I'm going to correct you in front of the church and stop you, because we don't allow that. We don't allow people to take over the service. We want God to be in charge, and I'm the shepherd here. That's my responsibility to make sure God is in charge, not any man. And so he said, okay, yeah. And the next service, he did it again. And as soon as he did it, I stopped the service, got up, grabbed the mic, stopped the service, and corrected him and said, I just want everyone to know I have talked to this man in the past and told him my standard and warned him that if he continued to be out of order, I would have to talk to him in front of the service. And so then after the service, I grabbed him and said, listen, if you do it again, I'm going to ban you from the church. Sure enough, the next service, he did it again. I stopped the service, and then I went to talk to him after service. He disappeared, never came back. And I'm assuming he found a church that let him do his thing. when you have your own agenda with God that says, God, I'm going to serve you and you're going to bless me. You're going to promote me. You're going to make a way for me to be happy. I'll follow you, but I want to be in a place that's comfortable. See, you're trying to tell God how you're serving him, and you'll end up in a man-made system where you're able to blame man for your situation. You're able to be bitter and hurt. But when you follow God, then God knew what it was like when he asked you to go somewhere. And so when someone attacks you, overlooks you, and I'm not talking about any kind of real abuse here, but you know, when people complain about church, it's usually because they just didn't get their way. And I know people and experience things where I've seen people be taken advantage of. I've seen people be used and not rewarded financially or rewarded. I've seen people being whatever. And toughen up. Toughen up, because God knows when you follow God, he is the one who rewards you. I'm not happy at the job God has me in. Well, God knew what it was like when he told you to be there. He wants you to toughen up and thrive in that job. Be an example of how to be the best and the hardest worker, be on time and serve, even if you don't get the raise or don't get the, you know, I'm not going to give so much because they're overlooking me. No, you should be the example of, I'm here because God put me here and I'm going to shine. Well, I want a new job. I want a new location. I want a new husband. I want a new wife. I want, you know, it's like, hey, toughen up and let's go. Let's move with God. Let's keep growing with God. So there's another system. There's two systems of how you look at your service to God. The first system is the man-made church system, which offers an infrastructure for you to step into and be told how to thrive, which means that you no longer have to really hear God lead you. There's times where God leads you, when you get to hear his voice, when you know God's placed you somewhere, where you're shocked because I thought I heard God, but it's not turning out the way I thought it would. Maybe I didn't hear God. And those are moments where you have to make decisions where, okay, did I hear God before and why am I questioning it now? Why is I so sure before and now I'm questioning it? And I always tell people, if God's not speaking to you, he's telling you something. Keep doing what I told you to do. Don't change. I don't like where I'm at. I'm asking God to change it. And he's not speaking to me. Yeah, he's telling you to keep doing what he told you to do. You won't make him change his mind. You can't blackmail him into giving you more. It's called serving God through humility. I'm yours, God. My life is yours. And whatever you see fit for me, that's what I'll do. Most of the church world doesn't live like this. Most of the church world have settled within a man-made system. And it's okay because at least they get to go to heaven, right? But somewhere you hungered for more of God. And you were introduced to the message of praying in the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you, you start praying in tongues. You don't see it. It's not visible. It's not, you don't have any evidence it's working, instantly. You just pray in tongues, but the will of God is being prayed forth. And you're going to come into moments where you know, I have to make this decision. You know you can't change your location. You know I can't move on. You don't know why you know, but you just know, or you know you have to move on. You don't know why you know, you just know. That's the fruit of praying in the Holy Ghost. And those are times where you end up like Paul in prison and you're giving God glory. Because you know you're in the will of God. Our modern church has gotten so fluffy, so ridiculously fluffy, soft, pushovers, self-centered. You begin to quit chasing things in life and allow God to bring things to you. That's called faith. When you don't chase it, you let God bring it to you. That could be finances. That could be more finances. That could be success. That could be your calling. I watch a lot of young men who pray in tongues a lot over the years, who kind of pray in tongues a lot, but they don't see victory. And you watch them, they're like, I'm praying in tongues like 30 hours a week, but you watch them, they're not changing. They're like, well, I don't know. Are you really praying in tongues? But see, the praying in tongues is the first step of changing, of transformation. But you have to add your step, which is your obedience, to obey what comes out of that prayer of the will of God. And that step of obedience is always a challenge for you to either take a step or to kill something. And what I've seen a lot of young people who pray a lot in tongues but never grow, never succeed. You think, oh, I guess tongues doesn't work. Well, tongues itself doesn't do the work for you. You are responsible for yourself. You are responsible to obey God, to follow God, no matter what the cost. You're responsible for holiness. You're responsible to give your life and time and money to God. No other man. And when you realize that this is impossible for me to do what he wants, you start to ask for a helper, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a helper. He can only help you. He doesn't do it for you. And so the praying in tongues brings you to a place to where you have to have a showdown with the flesh, with the outward man, with an agenda, with a dream. And usually God says, I want you to kill it. And when a young man or woman says, I'm not ready to kill that, then the next year of praying in tongues is just to bring them back to the same place. And like the old joke is, I love third grade. It was the best 5 years of my life. Is they go around and around and around until they come to a place of killing or stepping forward where God tells, the Holy Spirit is telling them to do. And a lot of times that stepping forward doesn't make sense. I think it doesn't make sense. It's not a promotion. This is a demotion. This isn't bringing me more blessing or stepping me into my calling. I watched a lot of young men move to the Tulsa Prayer Center. They watched Pastor Dave, move in power and miracles and how much people loved him. And they said, I'll pray in tongues 30 hours a week and you'll put me on stage like Pastor Dave. You'll make me a minister like Pastor Dave, and people will love me like they love Pastor Dave. And they pray in tongues for a year, and all the Holy Spirit tells them is, go get a job. And they say, oh no, that's the devil. Get behind me, devil. I'm going to pray in tongues, and God, you're going to give me what I want. So it's a trade. See, they're in charge. I'm going to offer you my prayer in tongues, and you're going to give me my agenda. And the Holy Spirit will never be blackmailed in that. And eventually you'll give in or you'll run away. A lot of people who pray in tongues, you don't see the fruit. It's because they're too stubborn to kill something God's trying to get them to kill. And they're trying to trade. I'll give you my time of praying in tongues, and you're going to give me what I want. But once you start down this path, you start to live a life of fruit where you begin to receive the blessings, the fruit of your walk with God, where he gives you things. He gives you maybe success. If you're called to business, he'll give you a path to success. I'll brag on John here because John just got promoted to a new job. But let me tell you, there was times with the old job where he wanted to run, he wanted to change job. It wasn't fair, but I watched him stick to it, pray, believe God. And now God's blessing him, promoted him. And he can't take credit for it. He doesn't deserve this new job. But he got it because he served God. He followed God. There's a walk with God where you got to yield over to him. You got to give up. Got to quit trying to live your life and have the best life now. You got to say, God, whatever you want from me. If you want me to be a missionary to the jungles of the Amazon, where I live in a hut and I eat monkey brains for dinner, then that's what I'll do. That is success in the eyes of God. And if you want me to be a big money guy where I bring in billions of dollars to the kingdom, I'll do that, but it won't be that I'm any more important than anyone else. If all you want me to do during this season is pray in tongues and sweep the floor, then I'll do that. I don't have an agenda anymore. See, the two systems we have to look at for the church. The first system is the shallow system. I call it the carnal church infrastructure, where they have a whole system built where you step in and it takes over your promotion in the kingdom. But always remember, if man gives it to you, man can take it away. But if God gives it to you, no man can stop it, and no man can take it away. See, that's how you can hear when someone complains, well, the infrastructure is not promoting me, they're promoting other people because they have something against me, or they have their own agenda. See, that's a Mr. Kiss-up. That's a man-pleasing opinion that you're in. You want man to promote you, and they're not promoting you. They don't see what I'm doing, and so they're not making a way for me. That's because you're a man-pleaser. Because if you were a God-pleaser, you'd say, God didn't want me to be promoted yet. God wants me right where I'm in, because if God wanted me promoted, it would happen. No man could stop it. So God is happy where I'm at. He wants me to learn something while in the situation I'm in. The other structure is called the body of Christ. And that's where you allow God to mature you and put you into a place in the body that he has designed for you and designed you for. And it's not a nice place, the body of Christ, because it ends up being a singular job. It ends up that you don't get acknowledged or rewarded. You just work. You just serve. You're an unprofitable servant. You don't serve for payment. You don't serve for reward. You serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, where you listen to the head and you obey what the head has told you, that you listen to God, you talk to God, you listen to God. And whatever he tells you, you're faithful to do that, whether it's something that is pleasing or something that is laborious. And you're willing to be consistent. Boy, consistency is such an important part. And if you've been around me as a leader, you'll find that I'm very picky on things like show up. You know, showing up is a big deal. Showing up on time is a big deal. I remember at the prayer center, I get people come to me like, Pastor Al, I just want to be used of God. Will you help me? What are some? And I'd say, okay, well, be on church on time. And then, you know, when church is over, when Pastor Dave starts to pray for people, watch how half the church gets up and leaves. I said, if you're going to be a leader, you need to stick around until the church service is over, even though it's not for you. You're not going up for prayer. Be the first one there, last one to leave. Be on time. be engaged, be a part of something. And see, being part of the body means you got to be there. You have to be active. And it's consistent. You don't get me time. You trust God for everything you need because you quit fighting for the things that you need. You fight to be in His will. And you trust God to bring everything you need. And He does. You'll find that once you live in this path, He's an amazing provider. He's an amazing leader. He's an amazing Father. He thinks of every little thing, things you can't even think about. But most Christians never get there till they switch over from the infrastructure of a man-made church to being part of the body where Jesus is the head. And what that means is the pastor is not the head of you. The pastor is beside you, underneath you, holding you up. But we're side by side, arm in arm, following God together, doing each of us doing what the Lord has told us to do. And amazingly, He has this body that takes over Canada and does a work. God does a work through us. We don't have to be smart and analytical and figure everything out and hire out companies to do things to help us have a bigger imprint. We just have to be the body of Christ where we walk side by side together and grow together. And in this season of us growing together, maturing together, God's brought us here together amazingly from all over the place. You're not here by accident. He's brought you here because you hungered. You hungered somewhere for more. But now are you going to die enough and give up enough of your life to finish the process? Or are you going to try to blackmail God to say, God, I'm showing up. Is that enough? But now you're going to make me a prophet or make me a preacher. You're going to make me rich. You're going to do these things for me because I'm showing up. Or will you die the fullness to say, God, I'm yours. I'm here to participate. I'm here to be part of the body because we have to grow together. Do you understand that? That we have to grow together. The infrastructure of man says, I, the preacher, am strong. You, the follower, give me your money, bring more people. You remain weak. If you want prayer, you come to me. If you want a word from God, I'll prophesy over you. If you need healing, you come to me. We, the leadership of the church, will meet all of your needs, and then you just bless us with money so we can hire more people and to help bless your needs. Become dependent on us so we can have job description and honor us, and you need us. See, that's a system, boy. Once you get in it, they'll use up your life. If you ever leave it, they don't give you they don't take up, you know, thank you for spending 20 years of your life serving our church and building the building the stage and supporting us. Here's your offering that you gave. I want to give this back to you as you leave. You know, no, you leave and you leave everything you did there behind because you served men. You didn't know it, but you were serving men. But when you spend time with God, everything He does in you stays in you wherever you go. It never leaves you. Because it's Him in you, not you serving Him. Somewhere you hungered enough that He was able to bring you further into the body of Christ. But that's the first step. Now you have to die. Now you have to mature and grow up, get committed, become bonded. The body of Christ is a great example, a great picture of how God wants His church to operate. Each part of your body listening to the head independently, but available to each other, submitted to each other, committed to each other. If your heart says, you know, I just need some me time. I've just been wore out. I need some me time. Your heart complains that it's not getting enough attention. So it says, I'm going to pull back. I'm going to pull back. And then we call 911. see, to be placed in the body means that you have to be willing that the body relies on you. Let me preach a little bit just to make you uncomfortable. To be part of the body means that you're willing to become expected to participate, not asked, expected to and committed for the rest of your life. That no one can get you out. Only God can take you out. No person can take you out. And it means that you also have to commit to a path of maturing and growing. We had a young man, John and I both spent time with him. He was a single mom's boy. He was born with one kidney, and that kidney was small because he was from a single mom home at the church. We would do things with him, take him out, teach him to kill things. The doctor told her that, you know, the one kidney he does have is small, and it's going to be fine because he's still a young boy, but when he gets to be 14 years old, around 14, his body will grow bigger and his one little kidney will not be able to filter the blood of a 14-year-old body. And that's when he'll probably need a transplant. And sure enough, they were right. When he got to be about 13, that little kidney couldn't keep up. And he needed a transplant. And that's such a great picture for someone in the church who's in the church, wants to be part of the body, but is not trying to pray in the Holy Ghost, not trying to grow in God, not trying to commit, just wants to be accepted. I just want to be accepted. I want someone to accept me the way I am. I want someone to take care of me. I want someone to acknowledge me. The problem is if you're in the body, but you're not growing, the body will grow. You'll be the problem. You won't be able to do your job that God wants to do. You'll be the little kidney that couldn't keep up because you stopped growing somewhere. Can you imagine being that committed that you're saying, God, I'm willing to be placed in a body where they'll rely on me, where they'll need me, where they can expect me and not have to beg me, call me, where I'm there? Where I just show up and do a job every day, the same job every day, without anyone acknowledging me. But God, you acknowledge me. See, being part of the body is expensive. It costs you everything. It means that you'll have to let go of your life and quit chasing things in this life, but allow God to bring things to you in this life. And that's scary for most people because they're afraid. If I make that switch, God's not going to think I'm good enough. And he's going to abandon me and give it to someone else. So therefore, I got to keep in charge and make sure that I get what I need to be happy in life. And you'll never experience how God's able to bring things to you without the pressure of you making it happen. But oh, don't you know that you're here for a reason? It's not by accident. He thinks you can make it. That's the only reason I believe he brought you here. He thinks you can make it. But you're going to have to face that pride of life. And I'm not, listen, if you're just a guest here and you're like, I just showed up by accident, then I'm not trying to, you know, spiritually hijack you. And, oh, thus saith the Lord. You belong to St. Thomas now for the rest of your life. No, I'm not trying to blackmail you in here or steer you in. But if you feel God's brought you here and as part of this church, then there's a reason. And you may think less of yourself than God thinks, which is common. It's better to think less of yourself than God thinks than to think more of yourself than God thinks. Can't. So if you feel you can't make it, if you feel you're too much of a failure, I've been struggling with the same garbage for 20 years, I'm never going to make it, God thinks you can make it. That's why you're here. But you got to be praying in tongues too, because that's the only place you'll find the strength and the wisdom and the direction to overcome some of these things of the flesh. Being part of the body is a place of great commitment, of great expectation on yourself, great humility. And I believe God's got us together so we can grow together, mature together, where we don't show loyalty to a person. We show loyalty to God, which brings us together as a body. And a place of trust. See, I don't have to try to make things happen, bring things together, because I trust in God to do that job. Trusting God to speak to you and not me have to speak to you. I'm trusting God to speak to your heart, to raise you up, to handle situations, to handle needs without it having to be spoken from the pulpit, every detail. You quit waiting to be asked because you don't want to be responsible. That's a loaded statement right there. Where you take the responsibility to hear God and to obey God and follow God. That's going to come as you and I keep growing together. I believe there's a body being built here with Jesus as the head that has a mission to help you to grow into your calling, but also, I believe, to bring a crack into Canada to bring forth a move of God built on these principles and not just a move of God built on the church system that's already in place, where the body of Christ will begin to grow and God's able to influence all of Canada and your town as well. Let's not settle for the man-made religion, the man system of church. Let's become the body of Christ, where each of us hear God, grow in God, mature in God, and become vulnerable to each other to where you can rely on me. You can rely on me to do what God told me to do. And I'll add to that, since I'm picking on everyone and myself too, that you can rely on me. You know, if you mean like, if you call me, I'm here. That's not what that means. That's the other church. The church system says, yeah, call me if you need me. You know, I'll help you if you ask me. That's the other system where you're responsible to call me. Oh, well, no one asked me to do anything. It's not my fault. No one told me they needed something. No one asked me to participate. But see, in the body of Christ, Jesus will ask you. The head will demand of you and ask you. See, and the relationship between you and me and each of us together becomes so intimate that we trust each other, that we're not scared of each other. We're not scared of offending each other. We're bonded together. There's a relationship together, where we know each other so well. Let Jesus ask of you. Listen to him. Start growing in him. And for a lot of time, it may be something like, I just want you to pray and be quiet. No, but I'm called to be a prophet. Just shut up. I don't want you prophesying right now. I want you to pray and learn how to humble yourself. Learn how to be content with God without walking in your calling. Your calling is not about giving God something to get something in return. Your calling is to be a service that you do because of who God is in your life, not the other way around. So don't be surprised if he puts you through seasons of quietness, of growing, of not being used of God, while that dies off of you. And then when he starts to put you to work, it's only an output of service. It's not to get something in return. It is your job that you do. It's your part in the body. And you say, you can count on me. I'll be the heart where I'll beat every day 100,000 times and no one will acknowledge me, but I'll be here because God put me here. I'll be the lungs that breathe in and out. I'll be the hands that hold. I'll be the feet that you can put your weight on. And I won't need a thank you. I won't need an acknowledgement. I won't need a promise of anything else. I'll be here because I'm here to serve the Lord. So let me pray as we close today. I believe that God's bringing a body together. And if you feel you're part of this ministry, this church, then I believe that there's a reason you're here. And it's not because you're weak, even though you may feel it. It's because you're stronger than you know. So, Father, I pray for each one that's here today. So thankful. So thankful that you've trusted us together, that you're bringing us stronger, maturing each of us into you, that we don't want to be man pleasers. We want to be a pleaser of you, that you're pleased with our life, with our heart, with our growth, with our maturity, and our actions to help you. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to touch each home right now with your presence. Father, I pray especially for the younger people, the younger generation that's here. Father, I thank you and ask you to let them experience you, to know you, to have a moment of personal connection with you in the next few weeks, to where their heart opens up and gets to experience the love of God and the passion of God like never before. Touch them, minister to them in Jesus' name. And Father, I call each home blessed, each home in unity. In Jesus' name, the healing power of God in each of our family members in each house. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we are blessed to be your children. We're blessed to be in your body. Thank you for loving us so much. In Jesus' name, amen.